This is Bush and Rich's Daily Takeaway.
Wimbledon is on at the moment, as you all know. Non-stop sport in it at the moment. Euros, Wimbledon, Olympics on the way as well. But like I say, Wimbledon's on at the moment. And I was saying on the show last night, the tennis and Wimbledon is okay, but it's kind of lacking in some of the characters of yesteryear. Your McEnroes, your Jimmy Connors, your Steffi Graffs, that kind of thing. So we kind of started this a little bit, and we got an interesting reaction with some good ideas coming through. So I thought I'd bring it back for like a full first hour of the show tonight. Bit of a brainstorm on ways to make tennis more exciting. And my idea that kind of launched things last night was, why not electrify the net? What about that added jeopardy as you came in for like a chip shot? But, you know, not proper like electrocution, just a little kind of cheeky jolt like you would get on one of them wires that you have that divide up farms. You've been to a petting zoo. So if you can have a little think, right, first hour home time this evening, you've whatever you've seen tennis, you've seen Wimbledon, you must have had something go through your head where you think, this is great, but I know how to make it even better. Like Ben says, for example, what about the ball starts off beach ball size and gets smaller as the game goes on? So it's like the size of a Malteser in the fifth set. How good would that be? Can't even see it. Maybe they put like a little light in it and have to close the roof and that, turn the lights down. This is getting better. You see how good this is already? CJ says, what about an increasingly smaller court as the game goes on? Love his use of increasingly and smaller there. That would work too. Bradley says, what about the judge shouts during a rally swap hands? That's a good thing. I'm sure most tennis players can hit it with both hands. It'd be more exciting. And Chris has come up with a great idea. What about one ball in every six is rigged to explode with like, you know, like a little puff of kind of dust? You know, like with those gender reveals. What about that? Explodes when hit. I think the sky's the limit just here with this brainstorm. No idea is a bad idea at this point because it is just the brainstorm thing. I'm writing them all on a whiteboard here in the studio. Some incredible things are coming into the show. Steve says, how about instead of boy balls, how about instead of boy balls, they have a couple of dogs on the court to collect the balls. Bulldogs. What about that? Roger Allen, who says he's working from home, says, what about the net raises 3 inches after every after every point in the game, then drops to the original height at the start of each game? That's brilliant. Like some kind of portcullis. Den the lorry driver says, Bush, what about targets along the top of the net that fall back when hit, like the ones you get at a fun fair or a shooting gallery? These are brilliant. We've got Steph on the line right now. Steph, please share your tennis improving idea.
I think you ought to play the dark with a glow-in-the-dark ball.
Brilliant. So it's they put the roof on at centre court, turn all the lights off, and then the ball
turn
is the ball's just a glow in the dark type thing.
Yeah, you can't see anything but the ball going from left to right, right to left.
And it'd be like a Coldplay gig or whatever. People could have wristbands that flash and stuff.
Fantastic.
Now, I remember when I was a kid, we used to have a Virgin Mary statue in our house that used to glow in the dark. So that kind of thing, it was pretty impressive.
Yeah. That's all you see, just the ball.
I absolutely love that. Steph, that might be the best idea so far. Thank you very much.
Oh, thanks, Bush.
Someone here says, turn the edge of the courts into a swimming pool. It ends the need for Hawkeye, and you can call it Tennis Island. Gary says, the loser of every game is given a wedgie, which is administered by the winning opponent. Thank you for that, Gary. One of our favourite ones so far is from Andy in Manchester, who says, what about an air guitar tiebreak? Best improvisation wins the set. Let's go to the phones and speak to Lisa. Lisa, take it away. What is your idea to make tennis better?
I was just thinking, if you do like the Masked Singer, so when you're watching a game of tennis, rather than like feeling sad because your favourite player's losing, you're just watching a game and enjoying it for the game and how they're playing, and you won't know until the end whether your favourite player was one of the players that have gone out or not.
Okay, so let's just say, for example, Novak Djokovic is called Chip Shop, and it's just like a big packet of chips with a fish sticking out the end, a big sponge outfit. We don't know who it is until he gets unveiled when he loses. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct.
And so the crowd in centre court would just chant, take it off, as he's being unveiled.
Yeah, that's correct.
Lisa, I like your idea.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Very businesslike end to this phone call, Lisa. I'm going to wish you all the best for the rest of your Wednesday.
Okay, thank you.
Love that. I love a good awkward ending to a phone call.
The Daily Takeaway.
Bush and Ritchie's Daily Takeaway.
Can I ask you a question? Is there something in life that may be inconsequential to other people? Other people might not even notice it. It might not even register for them. But something in life that really, really winds you up when you see it. Like, it kind of pushes your buttons. And I think everybody's different like this. Like, for me, earlier on today, I went and visited a friend in a cafe. We just had a little coffee, chatting away there in Leon C. And the door in this cafe, it's got like a sticky kind of thing where you can't, it doesn't just close naturally, so you actually have to properly close the door. But as I was sitting there for this hour or so of having a coffee, everybody who came in wasn't closing the door properly, and it was just letting in the air and the noise and the traffic and all that kind of stuff. So I had to keep getting up, having a little huff, closing the door. Didn't seem to be bothering everybody else, but for me it was just, like I said, properly pushing my buttons. So if there's something little in life that winds you up that other people might not be bothered about, get it off your chest on home time. I'd love to hear from you. 8-12-15. Andy says leaf blowers. What's the point? In fact, he uses a stronger word, and I'm inclined to agree. Chinook Chick on Twitter says people not placing trays in the little tray stacker after going through security at airports. It's not difficult, people. I find myself turning into the little tray tidy upper. That's the main thing with these. You end up doing it yourself because no one else can be bothered. Hi to Chris, who hates the phrase smashed it, whilst other people seem to find it okay. And Heidi Gary, who gets very sad and very annoyed when he finds broken cream crackers out of a brand new pack. What a wind up that is. Is this some kind of omen that you're going to have a bad day? Anything like this, please get it off your chest. Really interesting insight into all of your lives. Why? By finding out, like, what is the thing that kind of gets you going. Heidi Gareth Reynolds, who says people who don't follow the one-way system in supermarket car parks, that winds him up. Forever Everton on Twitter, people leaving drawers even slightly open pushes their buttons. Craig says, people who say PIN number, he adds, that would make it a personal identification number. And he's got a point. Yannick says, what winds him is when you're queuing at a supermarket checkout aisle and the new supermarket queue is announced as opening, and then people behind you make their way to it without first offering you the option to go first. It's a wind-up, he says. It's almost like queue etiquette there from Yannick. Our very own Emil Franchi has got in touch to say he hates it when people call it an espresso. That's a definite wind-up. And hi to Stephen Macclesfield, who says, pulling up behind a car in a right-hand lane at traffic lights. Lights go green, then they put the right-hand indicator on. Oh, my God, I lose it, he says. Let's speak to a bus driver called Tate, who has a wind-up specific to his career and his line of work. Tate, tell us about it. What winds you up?
Basically, you know when people get on the bus with their bus pass?
Right.
They put it upside down, and obviously there's a barcode on the back of it. You tell them multiple times the fact that it doesn't go on that way, because it would just make the machine have a fit, and they still put it on the same way.
So, in your experience as a bus driver, Tate, how many times a day do people make this mistake by putting the bus pass upside down when they're showing it to you?
3 or 4 times a trip.
Okay, and then for other people, that's probably, they wouldn't even know that this was an issue that existed.
No, not really, because passengers think, oh, dear me, and then try again the same way.
And I'm obsessed with bus drivers' mates, okay? You know, like, you get these people who hang out with the bus driver and lean into the corners early. Do you have someone like that that kind of knows the route and chats with you and all that kind of thing?
Yeah, we got a few of them.
Is that nice? You like that, Tate?
Yeah, they're all right. They don't harm me. It's nice to chat to someone like that who's actually interested in. Because growing up, I was the same.
You're into your buses?
Yeah.
What model bus are you driving at the moment, then, Tate, to get technical?
Alexandra Dennis, an Enviro 200 Mini.
Brilliant. What route are you doing in Swansea?
I'm going to pronounce this horribly wrong. Cranavelloch.
Sounds good to me, my friend. Well, listen, I hope people put their bus passes the right way up for the remainder of your shift.
I hope so too.
Can I just say, I've had a lot of people get in touch saying people driving in the middle lane on the motorway and, you know, not indicating and all that kind of stuff. I think those days are gone, and people staying on the left-hand side and indicating around or whatever. I think those days are gone. I think people just, by standard, just drive down the middle. Right, anyway, look, it's home time where real music matters, and we want to send you to the biggest gigs of the summer thanks to 10 weeks of tickets. This week, giving you the chance to win your way to the Leeds Festival with the likes of Liam Gallagher, Catfish on the Bottom and Jerry Cinnamon, Blink 182, The Prodigy, The Last Dinner Party and so many more over the August Bank Holiday weekend. All you need to do is take part in a little quiz that I've invented called Leeds, Leeds, Leeds. And what we're doing is celebrating our communal love of the cables and wires and connectors that we use day to day in our electrical devices. Today, we cast the spotlight on the iconic trio of AV wires. Do you remember those three wires? I don't even know if they're a thing anymore. It's been a nice trip down memory lane this week, talking about this stuff. The cables that have got three RCA connectors, two for the video, one for the audio. You know the ones. So look, to win tickets to the Leeds Festival over the August Bank Holiday weekend, answer me this question. What are the correct three colours of the iconic trio of AV wires? You're not going to get this question anywhere else on any other radio show. Is it A, red, blue and green? Is it B, red, yellow, white? Or is it C, brown, yellow, red? What are the correct three colours of the iconic AV wires? Well, you used to love them. You've probably taken a photo of the back of the telly before just so you can remember which order they go in. Is it A, red, blue, green, B, red, yellow, white, or C, brown, yellow, red? Let's meet our contestant tonight. He's called Ian. Ian, how you doing?
Hello, I'm fine, thanks, yep.
How has your day at work been, Ian?
Well, I've had a day off, actually. I've been... I've only worked 3 days a week now, so I'm getting lots of age where I can just cut back on my time at work, so I'm...
That's good. What have you been doing with yourself, then? Your day off? What have you been doing? Like, swanning around, that kind of thing?
Well, yeah. My daughter's ready to do a driving test tomorrow, so we've been touring around Preston and trying to get used to the roundabouts and traffic lights, etc.
Oh, OK. So, in terms of your daughter, what one area do you think she still needs to improve upon ahead of the test?
Reversing, actually. Reversing into car parking spaces and pulling over to the side of the road in behind cars, that sort of thing, because it's, roundabouts are a bit iffy. She's got a lot to...
I genuinely believe this, and this is terrible advice, so please don't follow this, but I always find the faster you go on a roundabout, the easier it gets. Pass that one on from me.
I'll pass you on, in my word.
Right, so this competition, Ian, is all about AV wires, the iconic trio of AV wires that back in the day we always have plugged in the back of our tellies. The question was, what is the correct colour? Is it A, red, blue, green? Is it B, red, yellow, white? Or C, brown, yellow, red? Which one was it?
It was B, red, yellow, white.
Yes. Do you still have them in your house, Ian? Is that still a thing?
I've got them in the garage, actually. I don't use them anymore. They had been CD, haven't they? HDMI and all that sort of thing. So
it's a shame, isn't it? What a great, more simple time that was.
It was, but it looks a bit tidy behind the TV nowadays. So,
which is the main thing. Happy. Well, listen, yes. Congratulations, Ian. You're off to see the likes of Liam Gallagher, Fat Catfish or the Bottleman, Jerry Cinnamon, Blink 182 and more at the amazing Leeds Festival. What about that?
Wicked. That's brilliant. Thank you very much indeed. That's made my night, actually. Thank you very much.
Good lad. Well, pass on our best to your daughter. Hopefully she aces the whole driving test thing tomorrow. Do let us know.
I will. OK. Yeah, I'll pass the message on. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Ian. And we've got more tickets to go to the Leeds Festival up for grabs tomorrow right here on Home Time as we play another game of Leeds, Leeds, Leeds.
This is the Daily Takeaway.
I've been asking earlier on, is there something in life that's inconsequential to other people, but for you really, really winds you up, kind of pushes your buttons? Been such an interesting insight into what makes people tick, because everyone's annoyances are kind of different. Hi to Mike Park in Christchurch in Dorset. It says, Bush, what gets on my nose is manners or lack of. Not saying thank you if you open a door. Stopping and letting a car through. Can't even raise a hand or flash headlights. I do think the whole manners game sadly is gone, Mike, I'm afraid. Hi to Char, who says she gets wound up when people who have that little tappy noise turned on when you type on your phone. It's mainly nanas, actually, that is, with the old click noises when they're typing away, usually with index finger, usually with a leather case for the phone and some kind of charm dangling off the edge of it. And hi to Clive, who says he gets wound up with people saying, can I get, when ordering something, when they should be saying, can I have? Can I just say how bowled over I have been, although that's the wrong sporting metaphor, how bowled over I've been with your brilliant suggestions for great ways to improve tennis. I'm trying to think of a good tennis version of saying bowled over. You've served some great stuff in my direction. That's about as good as it's going to get. I've been trying to think of ways to make tennis more exciting, and you guys have just been on fire today. And that's been a couple of the suggestions, actually, with what to do with the ball. Sean says, set the ball on fire. That would spice it up a little bit. What else we got here? Paul says, taser when challenge is lost by a player. A little bit hardcore, but still might work. Chris says, what about the court is on a balance board, so every time a player moves, it moves accordingly? Jason says, what about instead of grunting, players have to continually say kabaddi during a rally? Do you remember that kabaddi in the 80s? They had it on Channel 4. Amazing sport. They should bring that back. And then finally, Simon Walker, and these are still coming in, and like I say, I respect you all. Simon Walker says, what about replacing tiebreaker with a down in one pint of lager race? That would definitely make tennis more exciting.
This is Bush and Rich's Daily Takeaway.